strong saya.
We have fun. Last word is to Gosto Stan.
Okay, let me maybe pick up on what Ken ended up with. And, well, actually, two things. One is that I think it's been a very productive and also a very pleasant meeting. And I think meetings like that are extremely useful at this stage of the neutrino field. And I certainly want to thank Mila for organizing it and her efforts. I think it's really been wonderful. The second point I want to pick up on is the roadmap idea, and I thought I would say touch on two or three topics having to do with the U.S. program, and I think the first one has to do with this idea of the roadmap. As you know, about, I think it's 2.5 years ago now, that we had the bearish, Bearish Begger panel to map the 20-year roadmap for U.S. physics as a whole. And A, that particular study has been dominated very much by the linear collider issue. And secondly, it really came at a rather unfortunate time for the neutrino physics. It sort of missed out on all of the annus mirabilis, you know, and the last 2 years' development, that things have really changed. So there is a real appreciation in the United States, A, that it's a very exciting field, even by people not in neutrino physics, and one should seriously think about what one does about it and how one integrates that with the worldwide program. And both the head of the Office of Science in DOE and the head of physics division at the NSF feel that they would like to have sort of a roadmap specifically for the neutrino physics, a roadmap which would emphasize what U.S. should do, but clearly has to be done within the framework of the worldwide program. So there's been some discussion of that, and it was decided not to, I mean, by the funding agencies, they did not want to commission another study, but rather allow the community to do that. So the American Physical Society, or actually more specifically the four divisions, Division of Particle Physics, Nuclear Physics, Astrophysics, and Physics of Beams, are organizing this workshop that's about 6 to 9 months long. The culmination would be probably in May or June. And actually, the first organizing, first of all, it's going to be chaired by Boris Kaiser and Stuart Friedman, I think, who are probably known to all, if not to most, if not all of you over here. And the first organizing meeting will be in, I think, Saturday and Sunday of next week, 8 days from now at Argonne. And unfortunately, things have been sort of organized at the last moment, and a lot of people were invited late, so maybe they will not be able to come. But the point I really want to emphasize that we really want very much international involvement in that particular study. I mean, the idea is to organize working groups on 6 different topics and then get together maybe once or twice in the whole group with a culmination in May or June, having a 2-week-long study somewhere. So, you know, and hopefully that there will be, the output of it will be such that would point out the opportunities in neutrino physics and specifically the places where the U.S. program can really contribute the most and most effectively, and that will lead to some activity. So I think that's the first point that I want to make. The second point, a lot of people asked me about that, so I thought I would address this, and that is this 20-year plan that was just put out by the Office of Science, headed by the Ray Orbach, and it was announced by the Secretary of Energy just recently, which I think identified, 20-some projects as being top priority. And I want to emphasize in the whole Office of Science, which is a lot broader than particle physics. Particle physics, I would guess, is about a quarter or a fifth of all of the effort in that. There were 4 projects in particle physics which were indicated as that they should be pursued, And the threshold was $100 million for inclusion in these things. And there was BTEF, Linear Collider, Superbeam, and SNAP, which is astrophysics. There was also double beta decay, but that actually came under the rubric of nuclear physics. But now, so you can look at it and ask, you know, what does that mean? And I think it's a classical case of a glass half full and half empty. It's half full because it's included in the program, which is certainly better than being left out. On the other hand, the half empty because it's in the latter part of the program. And I personally don't take the schedule very seriously because my experience has been that the schedules provided by the funding agencies have all number of ways of slipping or changing or whatever. You know, for example, the obvious scenario is that you do the BTEF in the next 5 years, whether it's the right or wrong decision. I don't want to discuss that because that could take 2 hours. But it's a, and then a linear collider after that, and then maybe do the, you know, something ambitious in neutrino physics. But, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with the linear collider. We don't really know what the unitarity limit will be, you know, 5 or 10 years from now. So I think that it's a, I tend to really emphasize the glass full type thing. The other point that I want to make, that this is provided by one funding agency, and at least it is our intention, our strategy, to really try to seek the support of National Science Foundation during the at least the initial stage of the neutrino program. And from the time scale, that really would fit very, very well with, I mean, they're finishing with the LHC funding, they're now doing some of the Brookhaven stuff, and then, the, you know, they're actually actively looking for things, this being mainly university initiative, and also in the rough sort of a dollar range, $100 to $200 million, fits just right. So I think we are very, very hopeful about that. So maybe that's the third point I just want to touch on very briefly is, you know, the status of that. Where, as most of you know, our Minos detector has now been completed for 6 or 8 months. We're actually taking cosmic ray data, atmospheric neutrinos, upward going muons, and so on. And also the all the conventional construction at Fermilab is now completed, and also the outfitting. We've just started the installation of all of the beam elements. So in just a little over a year, we really hope to have to see the first accelerator neutrino. We've seen some atmospheric neutrinos. And you know, we've invested a great deal of time, money, and effort into that project. And clearly, one would like to capitalize on an investment as much. And so we certainly think that an off-axis experiment is the right way to proceed, which we think we could start constructing on a time scale of 3 years or so from now. So it's, again, you know, in the spirit of trying to dream, but not to dream anything extremely ambitious, which is clearly off-scale, but something that is really realistic. So that's, I think, where that project is. We have submitted a request to NSF already for R&D effort for the next 3 years. And the, we hope that the, we get a formal Fermilab approval at the June meeting of its PAC. And that, you know, will take 2 or 3 years after that to really formalize things before we can really start construction. So I think I will end that. I hope that I was just thinking when we're talking about the acoustics that clearly this building was, you know, built when people knew that God did not need, you know, amplification to really hear what was said in here and to hear the prayers. So, but I guess times have changed and the usage of the building has changed also.
Also, as soon as the time prayers were said, spoken in Latin, which nobody understood anyhow, so...
God did!
Well, you presume.